Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, the standard order is established for the faithful goes above and beyond what, say, the Jews would have considered normal. The rabbis taught that God only forgives a repeated sin three times. If you commit that sin more than three times, God will not forgive you. And so Peter thinks that he's being generous when he asks the Christ, if I forgive my brother seven times, is that enough? Because he doubled it plus one. And the Lord says not seven times, but 70 times seven times. And remember, for people in this age, big numbers were big. So it's like the equivalent of you saying a trillion times. Remember, seven is a number of completeness, and our Lord uses 70 times seven. So saying that forgiveness should be always offered when it is sought. And we learn, of course, the reality from Christ himself. He who has been forgiven much loves much. He who has been forgiven little loves little. And we see in our culture, it's a very angry culture. It used to be you could just encounter that in any kind of line or in traffic with road rage. But now it's evolved into riots and all sorts of other violent activities, all about people seeking revenge, seeking vengeance. And of course, there's a reason for this, as Sirach points out. Those who cling to their sins are always angry, and therefore they hold grudges. That's the secret, you know. If you're holding a grudge, it also means at the same time you're clinging to some particular sin. Because when you're sinful, your conscience is always bothering you. And as a result, you need to distract your conscience by thinking about the failures of someone else. So you hold on to a grudge against someone because then it makes you feel better about yourself. And you can insist that their sin is greater than yours, and then you don't have to worry about trying to quit sinning because you'll spend all your time being angry and holding a grudge. That's why Sirach says wisely what the fathers would later say, and even great preachers in the church: be mindful of death every day of your life. Be mindful of the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Because if you're acutely aware that you could die at any moment, you're not going to sin. You're going to avoid it. If you're acutely aware of the reality of death and decay and how that underscores how horrid hell is, and remember, no soul falls into hell by accident. They choose it. God ratifies a soul's decision to stay away from him. You spend your life away from God, and then you think he's going to keep you in heaven for eternity. He's not. In fact, he'll ratify. You stayed away from me in life. Why would I force you to stay with me for eternity? Free will is everything. And so these things are commonsensical to us who are faithful Catholics. And therefore, we try to avoid sin. We try not to hold grudges because, as the Lord makes it abundantly clear, if we choose to hold on to a grudge, then God will hold on to it for us. And our Lord is very clear in this parable of what happens to the servant who refuses to forgive. Our Lord says he'll be handed over to the torturers until he pays the debt back, which, of course, cannot be paid back. And then our Lord is very clear: so will my heavenly Father do to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. He says that God the Father will hand you over to the torturers, the demons, the reality of hell. Remember, souls usually know where they're going to hell because they're the first ones to say hell doesn't exist. Well, this is all easy for us to comprehend as faithful Catholics. Then why is it sometimes it's easily forgotten, especially in the great sacrament of holy matrimony? Why is it that sometimes, and I hear this from some husbands, that whenever something goes wrong and the wife gets mad, she brings up everything he ever did in his past that she found offensive? Now, isn't that in defiance of what our Lord says? Doesn't that mean you've not forgiven your husband? And remember, the sacrament of holy matrimony, you who are married are supposed to be showing the world and me who is not married how Christ loves his church. Can you imagine if you stand for the judgment seat of Christ and Christ brings up every single sin you ever committed that you confessed? Because remember, only an idiot Catholic does not go to confession. Because if you die without going to confession, then every single sin you ever committed, Christ will show you. And how it's unpardoned, unforgiven. If it's mortal, you're going to hell because you chose to reject God and not embrace him. Whereas if you go to confession, every sin you've ever confessed, absolution from the Latin means to be released. So not only are you forgiven for the sin, but you're released from the talons, the grip of the devil, and you're released from the effect of all the sin in the reality that Christ is not going to show you that sin when you stand for the judgment seat, because God's forgiveness is that perfect. He blots the sin out. It will no longer be seen. I can't imagine why some Catholics avoid confession. I guess because they think they're going to live forever. They're 96 years old and they think they're going to live forever. Part of the vanity of modern times, I think. But the sacrament of holy matrimony is the means by which you are to show the world how Christ loves his church, which means you're supposed to show the world what forgiveness looks like, what understanding looks like, what patience looks like. Don't think this is an unimportant reality. One thing I cannot teach the children is the reality of the basics of life. You don't hand the children over to the church and the church teaches them how to walk and how to talk and how to do all the things that they learn from you as parents. And so guess what the children are learning from their parents? They're learning either mercy or a lack of mercy. It is the parents who teach the children, and it is the children who then teach their children. And by the way, some of these children will become, God willing, priests and religious. The church is in a bad way in modern times because marriage is in a bad way. If you have a young man who's formed in a solid family, he tends to become a solid priest. If you have a young man who came from a broken family, then he's one of those wounded healers who sits up in the pulpit and tells you all of his weaknesses and all of his struggles and all of the things that upset him. Or he tells you jokes and stories about himself because he's so afraid of holiness. Or he just blathers on about social justice. And he never really does anything to help you understand what it is to be a Catholic and the primary vocation of all Roman Catholics, the sacrament of holy matrimony. Probably because his family background is such that he has no experience of what marriage should actually look like. Marriage as a sacrament belongs to the church, not to the couple. You're supposed to be living it according to the mind of Christ, not the mind of man. And therefore, it's about the salvation of souls. It's about embracing the cross. It's about self-sacrifice. It's about aiming for heaven, not aiming for money, not aiming for prestige, and not aiming for success. It's about aiming for heaven. And its primary role, according to St. Paul in Ephesians 5, is to show those who aren't married how Christ loves his church. How can that be done if you're one of those spouses who's unforgiving? And even if you don't communicate to your spouse all of the past faults that he or she has, if you hold on to those within your heart and think about them within your heart and let the devil trick you into feeling sorry for yourself and the poor me thing, realize that Christ is there. He knows what's in your heart and he hears you playing that in your heart. He hears you playing all the past sins and failures and interior complaints that you might have against your spouse, which means you really haven't forgiven your spouse. You might pretend like it by never mentioning it to your spouse, but if you're holding on to it interiorly, you're not forgiving. And you have to analyze why. Because according to Sirach, which is one of the wisdom books from Scripture, the reason you're doing that is because you are holding on, you're clinging to a personal sin yourself. There's some sin that you do, either seen or unseen. Typically, when it's unseen, it's because you don't want to see it, not because it's hiding from you. There's a sin you're holding on to, and in the end, it's always, always, always going to be pride, because all of the seven deadly sins are rooted in pride. That sin you're clinging to, you don't want to let go of it. You don't want to be humble. And therefore, even if you don't let it out with your voice in your heart, you're repeating it over and over again. Poor me, my spouse is so bad, my spouse is so awful, my spouse did this, my spouse did that, I'm carrying all the weight, etc., etc. That's an indication of pride, isn't it? And because you're holding on to your pride, you won't let go of the offense of your spouse. The beauty of being in Christ is He provides us with tremendous freedom. To be free from the burden of sin is a wonder. To be free from the burden of worry and worldly anxiety is a wonder. It is the devil who created anxiety for man because he's one that introduced evil into man's experience. It's a devil who puts the illusions forth that you must have worldly success and financial security. I mean, that's balderdash. Especially with the instability of the world today, the dollar might be 10 years from now worthless, and all that we've saved up could become worthless. Money becomes the God instead of God Himself. So think of it. Do an analysis in your own mind and heart, you who are married, especially if you have children, because they're going to learn how to apologize to one another by the example you set. They're going to learn how to show mercy to one another by the way you show mercy to one another. They're going to learn how to let go of grudges by the way you let go of grudges. And guess what? In the little society that you form, that will be taken out by them into the world. And then it will affect the larger society, because that's the whole point of the Catholic life. And that's the good news of the world today and the world tomorrow, because the crazy liberal, atheist, liberal, Catholic nutsos are contracepting. And all of the angry people are contracepting. Only traditional-minded Catholics, Mormons, and what's the other group? The ones that Bill Burns? The Amish, thank you. They're the only ones that are having children. And therefore, the meek will inherit the earth. And the world will change. But until that actually happens, it's your job as a Catholic laity, especially those who are married, to show how Christ loves His church, how Christ loves His people. And that small society that is your family, when your children get older, they will bring what they learned from you out into the world. And they will indeed form families of their own. And suddenly the world begins to change, all because you chose not to cling to sin, in particular the sin of pride, or other sins, whatever they may be, as disguised as they can be. And you chose to love your spouse as Christ loves us. And you chose to be self-sacrificial to your spouse as Christ does so, as you witness at every Mass. And then you find true freedom in love. And yes, love makes all sacrifice bearable and worthwhile. That's why you want to let go of anger. You want to let go of grudges. You want to let go of worldly anxiety. You learn to love Christ, everything changes. Stay loving yourself, and you get trapped in darkness and despair. And then you become, as Sirachus describes, those who are clinging to their anger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.